welcome to episode number 7 of Girl Fight. My name is Nicole Tanner, and I am your host. Today, I am joined by Megan Sullivan.
Hi.
Christine Steimer.
Hello.
Jessica Chobot.
Hello.
And Dana Jungleward.
Hi.
And as
I think I should go hi, just so people know.
Yeah, so people
differentiate
can tell us
our
apart.
Voices.
Yeah. Damn us and our female voices. We all sound the same. But honestly, though, the more that you listen, I'm sure you'll be able to tell.
I'm sure it's like any other podcast where you have
what.
No idea who yeah. anybody is at first.
Right, exactly.
Kind of get used to it.
So let's start off like we always do with what we're playing. How about Dana?
Oh, God. I'm still in the same rut, although I moved this weekend.
Yay!
So I will get moved in, and then I won't get any gaming in this weekend. But theoretically, maybe the weekend after that, I will finally be able to start busting out my console. So, like the last few weeks, only Picross 3D because I've only been playing portable games
yes.
and on my commute, and that is all I've been... Yeah, that's my
oh
only
my
game
God.
Time.
Oh, my God. I forgot my DSi at home today.
Uh-huh. Longest
the
commute ever.
The BART ride was so long.
Yeah. But I'm still really enjoying it, although I'm in normal. I finally made it to normal, and I think I'm in the 8th batch of normal ones.
They get really
and
hard.
And that's starting to get pretty tricky. I don't like to make moves unless I can figure it out. Like, I don't like guessing, but I'm getting to the point where guessing is, I have to do it at
yeah.
least once or twice per puzzle. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's me. That's all. Boring. Boring, boring, boring.
Jess?
I'm just started Alan Wake, and then because I screwed up buying which our games, Christine,
oh, yeah.
Christine, I went to go pick up Red Dead Redemption for 360, and Christine's like, oh, will you grab me a copy? I'm like, sure. So I've totally forgot that she wanted a 360 version too, so I got a PS3 and a 360, and then I came up and I like gave her the PS3 one. She's like, what the hell is this? And so I'm like, oh. So I gave her the 360 one because I had already spent her money that she gave me by that time.
It wouldn't have been a big deal, but I'd already logged like
yeah.
a lot, like a whole week
right.
into it on the 360 version using
yeah.
the office copy.
Right.
Well,
so.
It's not a big deal anyway because I'm playing through Alan Wake, so I just went and picked up Red Dead for 360 today. But this morning I got the Red Rings of Death temporarily, so we'll see if that I managed to fix it, quote unquote fix it.
I was gonna say you got the lights to turn off.
I got the lights to turn off.
Doesn't mean it's gonna work.
So but it worked for a good hour after that with no problem.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if maybe something really was disconnected because I had given my cat.
Yeah,
I gave my
the
cat
plague
a bunch
also.
Of. Catnip, and he threw himself behind the TV, and I'm wondering if he dislodged some cables.
Yeah, I got two rings, red rings of death at one point. Thought it was three, because it
yeah.
just kind of all lights up red.
Yeah, you just
yeah.
see red. And
you just see
like...
red, and I went...
Yeah, your
but
heart
it was
just
really
stops.
That my hard drive wasn't like properly
yeah.
pushed on.
Yeah, I got
there.
Four once, but it
four
was because
means the video cable
the video
attached.
Cable was loose. But I was like
wait,
freaking
what,
out.
What's the rundown? Four is video cable.
Uh-huh.
Three is hard drive.
Three is system.
Three is system. Three is system failure.
But two is your hard drive is not properly like pushed in.
Yeah.
And this is why Megan doesn't own a 360.
You're missing out though.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome.
So, Alan yeah. Wake, how is it?
Scared the crap out of me. Scared me out of my mind. I haven't played that long. I think I'm still at the very end of chapter one. Might be
okay.
in chapter two. But,
Did it say chapter two on the screen?
It's gotten... Yeah,
I think they
yeah.
say episode.
Episode or episode
I'm
two?
I'm sorry, yeah.
yeah.
I'm
just teasing you.
I saw this... I've gotten trained.
Really
I've gotten a Pavlovian response now to seeing when the fog gets darker and starts to move quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh God, here they come. They're coming. They're coming. And I'm like trying to run, and then I panic, and then all of a sudden some like dude
like, yeah.
smashing me in the head. The biggest complaint I have out of all of it is the dodging technique. It's just not really good. It's time-based, which I'll catch the hang of eventually, like no matter how many games you play, eventually you figure it out. But you know, it makes it annoying a little bit in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's kind of unnecessary. I remember we did a strategize where it says to roll backwards is actually a lot easier. And even I, with that, it's like, you know, you've got a group of dudes trying to kill you. You just panic and not
right.
do it. So, but all in all, I really like it.
Cool.
Here's the crummy thing about Alan Wake. So that's what I'm going back to as soon as I moved. But I'm moving. We bought a house in Oakland, which is, so that's where I'm moving to. But, like, are everyone's like, oh, yeah, you just have to expect break-ins. So I'm freaking out about, like, when we were getting home insurance, she was like, oh, you don't want that high deductible because, you know, well, it's Oakland. Everyone gets broken into. Wow. So now I'm freaking out about that.
I thought Oakland was supposed to be the nice place. No.
Well, my neighborhood is nice. We love our area.
It depends on where in Oakland. But,
Oakland is very large. It's just a flatland.
Well, yeah, we're not
hills. You've got boys peeking in.
Yeah. See? Okay.
They're jealous.
Things are creepy. So now I'm going to go back and start playing this game that already freaks me out when I'm living in a new house that I'm like
play
looking for someone to move in. Yeah, maybe so.
That's my plan when I get to Alan Wake because I haven't made it there yet.
I don't know. Oh, hey guys.
There's a girl in the room.
So everybody, we were sitting in our conference room and we have a glass door. Yeah, we have a big glass door that you can look in and we just literally had about a group of four men staring.
The monkeys are podcasting. This is so weird.
I think the monkeys were on the other side of the glass.
Yeah. Oh, I just threw poop at the window.
Anyway.
That was very weird.
Alrighty. Christine, what are you playing?
I am playing a ton of Red Dead Redemption. Finally finished Splinter Cell on Saturday so that I could just get that off my plate and go back to Red Dead because I played it all last week. But yeah, I love that game, and I will be playing that for a very long time, which I'm happy about, because since Mass Effect 2, I've been having problems like finding a game that kind of caught my attention, and like made me want to play it.
Which glitches have you run into?
Most of them have been funny, like a girl leaning up against nothing. Like, she looks like she's up against the wall. She's really just standing there in the middle of it.
Have you gotten a flying horse yet, though?
No flying horses, no donkey lady, which I totally want to find the donkey lady.
I heard they made a big patch on a lot of these, though,
I'm sure they did. But the one thing that did happen where I was a little annoyed because I had to restart my game, I went to a camp. There's all, you know, you're roaming around the world, and you'll find people at a campsite. Went over to, you can go sit down and join them, listen to their stories. And only once you listen to their story do you get the option to leave this camp. So I go down, sit and listen to this camp. All of a sudden, something happens. I don't know what. The guy at the camp that was going to tell the story gets up on his horse and, like, runs away. And then eventually comes back, but it's just, like, standing there on his horse and nobody's saying anything. I was like, oh, no. And sure enough, like, I was just stuck there. It wasn't triggering the storytelling. So I was just literally like stuck at this campsite, sitting, squatting on the ground.
Is there an autosave situation?
There is. So, yeah.
Yeah, you can restart and you don't have to get too punished.
It wasn't that big of a deal, but I was like, what the? Why isn't there an option to just leave before the story is told so that you're not stuck there?
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
That was the only instance where I've had to stop, like, restart.
Pro tip. Make sure you really want to hear that story before you sit down.
Don't bother. It doesn't get you anything. Make your own campsite. It's a lot easier. You won't get stuck there. But yeah, so I've been running around hunting down the rare horses because that's what I want.
Cool.
Right now I have
it's like
one.
Your Pokemon collection, but with rare horses and Red Dead Redemption.
I feel really bad. I've totally abandoned Pokemon.
Like, I didn't see that one coming.
I saw an article update last week,
well,
and I was like...
No, I went to the tournament.
Oh, right.
And I did trade with people there. However, we were stupid, and we were busy watching the juniors instead of just going out in the line and trading with people, because I swear to God I would have gotten all of it done that day had I gone around and traded with everybody. I only made it to, like, 5 feet of the line. And got 30 Pokemon.
Wow.
And I was like, damn it, what is wrong with me? But that time I was so tired, I was like, I have to go home.
So you still could have, but you were just like,
I've been there since, because then they started letting the seniors in, and then the line was moving, and it was difficult to try and, like, keep up with people, so we didn't plan that very well. Yeah. But it was still good.
Cool.
Yeah, that's about it.
Megan, what are you playing?
It's interesting that everyone brings up Red Dead because that is actually the first Rockstar game I'm interested in.
Cool.
So I was actually going to pick up a copy over the long weekend for PS3 because that's what winners play.
Oh, wow. We don't need the console wars here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that
Or you could be really awesome and just have both.
I like both. Both is good. Yeah. They look very
both
nice
is
side
good.
By side.
They do.
They do.
And in the meantime, Nicole, as I reported a couple weeks ago, gave me Tree of Tranquility, the Harvest Moon game for Wii, which I have been addicted to like crack. So that's
Wait, have you played the PSP one that I gave you?
No, not yet. I'm almost finished with Tree of Tranquility.
Oh, okay.
And I'm one of those people who I like to focus in on one game and then go to the next one because I've tried doing like three or four at once and it never works out. So I am almost done with Tree of Tranquility. I highly recommend it. And Harvest Moon is ridiculously addicting. And I don't know why, because it's horribly repetitive.
Oh, yeah. I know. That was the same thing I was playing. I was like, why am I still playing this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one more day.
One more day. Yeah.
What
yeah.
is it about farming?
Yeah. It's just... I have no idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, I'm also a Viva Pinata fan, so it's kind
yeah.
of... Yeah.
I know. I
love the farming. Maybe
great.
I should go move out west and
no.
start a farm.
No.
I have a feeling it's quite
out
different.
West.
I mean, east. Sorry, out east. I forgot where I was.
She's going to start planting rice in Japan. As far west as you can go.
Yeah. As one who grew up in a rural community, I don't
recommend it.
I don't think you'd probably like it. I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
Where did you grow
up? I feel like I would only want to go for like...
A lot of farms there.
You're not.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about Harvest Moon either. And I played... I've like a billion. I've played almost every version that they have released.
It should not.
And you get excited about it still. Because I watch Nicole be like, ooh, a new Harvest Moon's in.
And I don't know why. Like, you know,
it's
I mean,
it's got something.
It does. Yeah. And they're all basically the same. I mean, they'll have a light little story that is slightly different from one to the other. Yeah.
But
the basic
they're all basically
game's
the same.
Yeah.
And the mini games are not terribly interesting at all.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you're describing it to people, you're like, this sounds really boring.
I don't play the mini games at all.
Not.
Actually, the mini games in Tree of Tranquility aren't that bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you go to, the, like, the summer festival or whatever.
I tried them out. They're okay.
Skipping but... stone thing.
Yeah.
It has the best mini games of any in the series.
So if you're not playing those, don't bother
right, yeah.
any others.
That is the moral of the story.
Yeah. What am I playing? I played more Harvest Moon on PSP. Not my favorite in the series, so I don't
know. Well, that was my first one.
That was your first one, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know why I'm playing this so much.
Yeah, so I don't think that I will play that to the extent that I played the other ones. Still more Picross 3D, and we've had a crazy week in Facebook games.
There's
it's
been
nuts.
A lot of them.
Everybody, all the big guys are releasing new ones, so
actually
I've had to play them.
I saw a Zynga billboard. On the way into San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw an actual social gaming Facebook kind of.
It's actually a recruiting billboard as opposed to a.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I just looked at it.
They do it on NPR, too. They've sponsored some things, like just as a hiring recruiting thing. They'll be like, Zynga, now hiring.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, if you want a job in the gaming world, hit up Zynga.
We have heard not so great things about what it's like to work at Zynga.
I'm
so,
sure.
But it's all secondhand. I'm not saying anything for sure.
Liar.
But yeah, so I've been playing lots of Facebook games. I actually found one that I really, really like, and it is called My Tribe. It is very similar to the tribal stage of Spore. If you guys have played that game, except for you're not battling other tribes. But it's the first game on Facebook that feels like a real, complete game to me, which is exciting.
Hmm.
And
so maybe there's hope.
There's hope. Well, the thing is it's developed by Big Fish, which is not a Facebook game maker. They're a casual game developer. They invented the Mystery Case Files series and a few other really popular casual games. So... the fact that they're the developer, I think, is what is making the difference. So hopefully we'll see more developers jump into the space. And then
yeah, but
good
right
games.
Before we came down, we found out that FIFA Facebook, which honestly, I don't know anything about soccer.
I know all the guys in soccer are super hot.
Yeah, why are they? They're all stud. Like,
they're all perfect. I just was at the bar the other day, just happened to look up, and they had some soccer games on. I usually don't pay attention to sports, and it just they had
and you were
done
like,
a close-up on this one guy just as I looked up. I'm like, whoa, what the heck is this? And then I started watching. I'm like, you are perfect men. You are all perfect. Yeah, I swear to God, I want a soccer player so bad.
Just to get better luck in Europe.
I know.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking maybe I can push IGN to send me to our IGN UK office. I can start hunting for like a Doctor Who / soccer player.
Can I please transfer to the UK office?
Actually, when I lived in Japan, the FIFA World Cup in 2004 was going on, and my friend and I were in a bookstore called Kinokuniya, and there was like soccer fever everywhere. There were all these magazines, all the profiles of all the players, and we were just sitting there giggling through it because they were all like super. There were no ugly.
I think it's like a requirement.
Yeah, it's you have to be a male model to play soccer.
Oh, they're gorgeous. I actually totally unrelated, but kind of connected to Megan's story. I went on vacation during the same time to Japan. I went to Kyoto, and I was walking through one, I don't even remember one of the temples, but it's like one of the major temples. And all of a sudden, I heard all this like thrashing in the trees above me, and this like really crazy and now bloodied because he fell out of the side of a mountain. Irish dude falls literally right into the path, and he stands up. He's this old guy. He stands up and he starts swearing, and he's got this thick Irish accent, so nothing really sounded right to me. You know, I was just like, huh? And then he turns around and he looks at me and he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm from the soccer team. And he was like, ended up being like Ireland's coach. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And he's like, hey, you want to take my picture with me? I'm like, okay. Sure.
That's awesome.
Now, looking back on it, I should have been like,
that was your opportunity.
I should have asked him, can I come hang out with your entire soccer team?
Yeah.
Because that would be great.
Yeah. Missed opportunities.
I know, right?
Yeah. So that's what we're playing. Real quickly, before we get into our topic of the week, I just want to say we have gotten a ton of response about our fight that we had a couple episodes ago, and I just wanted to let everybody know that we are looking at your comments and reading them. Extremely interesting thing is we've gotten pretty much the same amount of comments coming in on both sides of the argument.
Yep.
So it has turned out to be an extremely divisive issue. But we're, you know, we're reading your comments, but we're not going to talk about it, you know, for a while, at least.
We can't just rehash the same stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't want to beat a dead horse, because we're not Christine. No, I'm kidding.
What?
I'm
kidding.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you shared, so
I think
back
that
to...
was an owned.
I'm kidding.
Actually, yeah, but Christine, you have something to share.
Okay, so...
You killed another one?
You've heard this, but the listeners have not. So before I already have two down on my track record. The cat I accidentally killed in World of Warcraft, and my hitting my hammer with a horse in Harvest Moon PSP. So playing Red Dead Redemption, started out, and like one of the very first missions, you are learning how to cover and shoot. And, you know, I park my horse and I leave him back.
Park my horse. City girl.
Back, you know, in the safety area. I'm moving up. The damn horse decides to wander up into the battlefield. And as I'm, like, aiming for this guy, and I pull the trigger, the horse runs in front of it. And he gets shot in the neck and dies.
Oh, Christine, and I was like, come on.
You stupid horse. Why would you do that?
That's the horse's fault that you shot.
No. In your defense, that's some really realistic horse behavior, because when they get scared, they just freak out and just run everywhere.
Go anywhere, including right in your line of sight where you're going to shoot.
Yeah. So you keep claiming accidents or dumb horses.
You know what? I just have a lot of rage towards animals. So that's my second horse accident.
Accident. Oh, they're still accidents.
They are. That was an accidental because I felt really bad about it, but then I just whistled for another horse.
I love it that at the same time you were taking care of Greg's dog. In real life.
Priscilla was fine. Yeah. Everything was fine. Still alive. Yeah. I didn't hit him with a hammer. I didn't stab him with a knife.
Didn't shoot him.
And I didn't shoot him in the neck. Awesome. So I think we're good.
All right. Yeah.
Okay, anyhow, so this week's topic actually was spawned by a recent article that we found on gamepolitics.com, which is a very cool site. If you don't go to it, I suggest that you do. And this isn't a new thing, but there was a post in a newspaper in Lancaster that somebody was comparing video games. They said video games are just as bad as like taking a line of cocaine or something of that nature.
Megan.
Video games are addicting like crack. Harvest Moon is my first example.
Well, that might be true, but it doesn't do nearly as much damage to your body.
Right.
Well, I don't know. If you're an MMO player playing World of Warcraft in Asia,
you could get incredibly fat.
Not just fat, but people have killed over and died actually playing MMOs.
Okay.
I think if that happens to you or your child dies because you're not paying attention to it or any of those other situations, I think it's nothing to do with the game. I think you already have issues.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say,
you're just kind of glomming on to whatever happens to be catching your attention. And this would have happened no matter what you would have found.
I was going to, yeah, I agree with that. Like, people have addictive
personalities
and addictive behaviors, and a lot of the times people who will substitute, even if they get past one addiction, they'll substitute another one for it instead, you know, whether it's eating or drinking or, playing games.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, games actually, you know, they can be addictive, but the word "I'm addicted to games" or "my kid is addicted to games" is just tossed around way too much.
Well, it makes it sound like the person's innocent, they're helpless against the situation. When honest to God, mm-hmm. you just bend down and turn off the power button.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, those are people who can't
even if you're only only gone for 3 hours. At least 3 hours you can do something else,
right.
Like feed your child.
Yeah.
Or yourself.
Or yourself.
Yeah. Go to the bathroom.
Or, take a break. I mean,
clean the house.
I've sat and played. You know, I don't think I have an addictive personality to games, but there's been times where I've gotten really into a game where I can mm-hmm. honestly say, I think for World of Warcraft when it first came out, I sat from 8 o'clock that morning till the following 8 the next mm-hmm. day, and I think I got up a total of maybe 3 times and loved it. It was great. Mm-hmm. But you know, that happens once with me maybe every 2 years.
Right.
So
it's not a reoccurring thing.
The same thing happens. I mean, last night I was up way too late because I was reading a book that I was really into and I wanted to finish it, and I was up till 3 finishing this book. But I mean, the good thing for me is that the book ends, you know, like you're playing something like, wow.
So you go mm-hmm. and you find the author's other book.
I mean,
you know, you're still waking up at, you know, the next day feeling tired and crappy.
Right.
You know, it's just because I think we look at books as being intellectual. Well, it's mm-hmm. okay to stay up till 5 o'clock reading a book because you're reading and that mm-hmm. makes you smarter. But you can't stay up till 5 o'clock and play
smarter.
A game because then all of a sudden games are these horrible, like mindless, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
Pop culture BS.
There's definitely a huge distinction between addiction and enthusiastic use.
Well, yes, but let's be, just to play devil's advocate, in all seriousness, there are people who are addicted to games. I mean, honestly say that when I was, God, this dates me so badly, but when I was in high school, I was addicted to AOL chat rooms. Uh-huh. You could not get me off these things, and I neglected everything from homework. I was supposed to pick up my younger brother once from kind of a mm-hmm. dangerous area at night because he'd gone to some party. I totally forgot. My mom freaked out. I mean, it's when it starts affecting all aspects of your life. I mean, I have a friend who divorced her husband mm-hmm. because he didn't go to work. You know, he quit his job. He wouldn't come to the dinner table. I mean, I think that it's sort of like gambling or something like that.
Yeah.
Where it's the same kind of addiction. So I think it is. I'm not saying that, you know, necessarily publishers or developers have to do something, but I do think there's a.
I was gonna say that becomes. I mean, people need to take responsibility for how they use a product themselves.
Right.
It's like, I mean. We could put warning labels on every single thing, you know, it's like, or we could put on the bag of Cheetos, this will make you fat if you eat too much of it. But it's like, there needs to be a certain amount of common sense.
Reminds me of like Europe and their smoking labels.
They're awful.
Where there's like pictures of lungs,
pictures
of lungs.
Or like half of the package, you know, where it's like,
this
cigarettes
will kill you,
like in big black letters.
So apparently we need to adopt that and put that on everything.
Well, it's just like, it's the lack of responsibility going back to a phrase that you said, Nicole, where parents are like, my kid is addicted to games. And I'm like, you're the parent. You do something about it. Don't do this whole, like, it's like, okay, so they're mad that you take it away.
And 9 times out of 10, they're not addicted. Like, the examples that you brought up, those are signs of true addiction when you're shirking all responsibilities and all that type of stuff. But, like, most kids, like, probably just like to play games a lot. And
games are more fun than homework.
Yeah,
they're going to want to play games more than they're going to want to do homework. And it's your job as a parent.
It's crazy talk.
It's your job as a parent to not let them play games all the time that they want to play them. Oh, drives me nuts. Okay,
I think that that comment about the smoking addiction over mm-hmm. in England, well, in here.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, you know, the warning labels on cigarettes versus here. I mean, you know, the addiction that you have with cigarettes or drinking, particularly those two, it's like a really hardcore chemical addiction. I mean, that person's body craves that, and on a level mm-hmm. that they're not understanding. Whereas gaming, to me, is less of a body situation and more of a... At its most, maybe a mental stimulation, mm-hmm. but it's not, there's no you know, other than an emotional response, there's no physical craving.
What about gambling? Gambling's considered a serious addiction.
I would actually argue that one of the biggest problems with addictions, I mean, like cigarettes, after, I think it takes a week for it to work its way out of its system. But, I mean, you talk with someone who hasn't, like, who smoked significantly, they're going to be craving cigarettes still way after that week is done. Because it becomes a psychological thing. Right. Like, you get used to this and you get used to these, you know. Yeah, and gambling, I mean, video games do have a similar, many of them have a similar element.
It's like other behavioral addictions, gambling, shopping. Lots of guys are addicted to internet porn. It's the same type of thing. Like, I wrote an article about this.
It's instant gratification. Yeah. All of it. You go gambling. If you win, you just want a bunch of money. You're going to play a game. You finally get, you know, you save the princess. I just saved the princess. Woo! Right. You know, you go internet porn. You do your business for 5 minutes, and you're happy. You don't have to talk to anybody, and you're done. Yeah. You know, like...
Didn't have to buy anyone dinner?
Didn't have to buy anybody dinner. She's not sitting there harassing me or him.
Or wanting to snuggle.
I don't have to spoon anyone.
Let's talk
now.
About our feelings.
Yeah, I can just get up. I can get up from the internet porn and go play a game. That's so perfect.
And then some online poker, maybe. While drinking a beer.
All of a sudden, my life sounds fantastic.
Or you can do both, like that Japanese game Love Plus, where the guy married his DS.
What?
I thought you guys knew that story.
No.
Jess is giving me a fantastic look. I thought you guys knew that story. Oh, this is...
How do you marry
I heard about the guy that married his pillow.
Right.
Wait, right, yeah, I heard about that.
Oh, how about that face now, Megan?
You got me.
Wait, where
on that one.
Japan.
Oh, Japan.
Of course.
There was a 30 Rock that made fun of it.
Yeah.
Did the pillow have a fancy pillowcase with a lady on it?
No, I think it was just a pillow, wasn't it?
What was that guy's name? There was a 30 Rock episode that made fun
James
of that.
James Franco.
James Franco.
Thank you.
Yes, had a fake relationship with
Tina Fey.
Jenna. Oh, Jenna. No, it was Jenna, because he had to cover up the fact that he was really in love with his pillow.
Oh my God.
It was hilarious.
Fantastic. Yeah. They have all sorts of creepy just fetishes over in Japan, but this one was a game called Love Plus, where it's not just this one guy. He just took it to the extreme, and now there's a Love Plus Plus game where it encourages you to go to a real love hotel in Japan with your DS and take your, and you actually have to, it's in real time, so you have to spend 48 hours with your virtual girlfriend on your Nintendo DS. And if you fall asleep, she can, like, wake you up apparently at 2 in the morning and be like, let's talk about our feelings.
In the game?
What?
In the game. But you have to be at this specific love hotel.
I don't know if it's a specific love hotel, but
I was going to say, they give you achievements?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What happens when your battery runs out?
Yeah. Let me tell you guys a little something about love hotels.
She bitches at you when you turn it back on. Yeah.
Why did you charge me? What's wrong? Don't you care? Our love fern is dead.
Wow. Interesting. I wonder if it is a specific love hotel. Not that I know overly much about this.
But I was going to say, Jess, you seem very well versed.
I'll tell you. I went on a love hotel tour.
You need to explain this. I have
last
no idea
year.
What a love hotel is in Japan.
A love hotel is like...
You rent by the hour.
Are there ladies there?
That makes it sound a lot filthier than what it is. So, and I actually highly recommend this for couples that are going to travel across Japan. It's so much cheaper and it's cleaner to go to these places and stay as a couple versus trying to grab a hotel, like at a standard hotel room.
Huh.
I'm telling you, it's true.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that I don't care if it's cheaper.
And I'm saying I want to know what it is.
The whole thing is, it's this whole culture, because Japan is so crowded and they don't, and a lot of them still live with their parents, so that they have these relationships or they're having affairs or whatever the case may be, that they don't have a lot of private space. So you're supposed to go out and have these, go to these love hotels. And basically what they are is you can rent them by the hour for a short nap, or also known as a peach nap, or you can stay, do an overnight thing. So it's like, you know, renting a hotel room.
Right.
And they're relatively cheap. I mean, depending on what kind of rooms you get, you can get anything from like a $33 deal to like a couple hundred. You walk into the lobby, nobody's in there. You go and you pay for it, and you pick your room through an automated system. Nobody talks to you. You go into the elevator, you find your room, you are in there. If you want to like order room service or anything, you can. And then when they come up to deliver the food, they don't open the door. What happens is there's a small door next to the main door that they'll open up. They'll put the food inside. They'll knock. They'll shut it. And then you open it up and take the food out. Because the whole thing is that because this is supposed to be private and secretive, you are not only not supposed to run into the work staff, you also are not supposed to walk in and run into other people that are there. So it's like completely automated. You never see anybody. The rooms are amazing. I went into this one room that was as big as this huge suite, like a $500, $600 a night suite here. Totally, utterly clean. Had like four flat screen LCDs. Had karaoke. Had like tons of all these video games. Then it had this like outdoor spa.
Did it have a DS charger?
It did. It had an outdoor spa, and it had a pool in the room.
What? Wow.
I am not kidding. You there was a pool in the room. It was awesome. It was like $75 that night. That's
it. Oh my God.
I know.
You talking about all of the like the anonymity and like the not seeing anyone, dude, it would be such a good place to set a horror movie.
You're brilliant.
That would be so creepy. Yeah.
I think it was called Hostel.
Well, now I'm scared, Dana.
But this is... Oh, Dana, you and I need to talk
later. All right, we will chat.
About this script. But yeah, so anyway, a lot of these places, which then brings us right back around to like what Megan was saying, a lot of these places, because you kind of have a loyalty program, offer you incentives. And so I'm wondering if this is a specific love hotel... Does this love hotel offer incentives to the people, like, with this game to get discounts?
Like, if you go into the hotel and you type in a code or something?
Yeah, exactly. Because if I noticed if you went into the hotels, and almost all of them offered this, if you were a frequent visitor, you would get, like, coach purses to give to the girlfriend.
Wow.
Or, like, perfume. No, it was real. Well, I mean, as real as I could tell, but, like, you know.
It's on a screen.
You know, but, yeah. But, I mean, you know, like... high-end perfumes, whatever, and you could pick some other things since it's a love hotel. But I'm wondering if this is one of those things where that would be very interesting to me, just as a cultural thing for Japan and just this, like, how the DS is just, and Nintendo just has, like, is basically running the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially, at least to Japan.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
But this takes video game addiction to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Or fetishes.
Or love hotel addiction.
I would put that more in the fetish category than in the addiction category.
Yeah.
The socially not well adjusted category.
Hey, Dana.
Going to a love hotel with your DS?
That part.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that part.
Wanting to marry your pillow. Yes.
That part's a little awkward.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
All right, so we got a
tangent.
Yeah, a little off topic there. Bottom line, I think, yes, games are addictive. No, they are not as bad as all the media would have us.
Well, there's not a redeeming quality. You know, games have plenty of redeeming qualities too.
Yeah.
Drugs don't, I mean, for some people might find them fun. We are not endorsing drug use here. However, there's no, like, actual health quality. Like, you don't get to the end of it and be like, my life is now better.
They have helped create some art, nice art and music.
Well, there
that's true.
Okay. I mean, but only, that was, you know, only until a certain point. And
right,
then it
exactly.
Goes.
Yes.
Well, only to the detriment of the person that is creating the art.
Yeah.
They might create fabulous art, but it's still, like, really taking a toll on that individual.
Right, that's why there's, you know, that bell curve.
And games can have very positive effects on things too. You know, there are positive qualities when used in moderation. It's anything in moderation.
Yeah. It increases your hand-eye coordination or something, right?
I have become a much better driver since I started playing games.
Lots of stuff.
I would say, I mean, it's made me a better reader in a really odd way. Mm-hmm. Like something like that. What was it? Not Blue Velvet. That's a really screwed up movie. What was the
Blue Dragon?
Velvet Assassin.
Oh, was Velvet Assassin.
It actually made me go. Because I was just like, they kept saying, it's based on this real-life woman, real-life woman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is this real-life woman? So I did this whole, like, research on my own time just because of this title and found out that there was this whole, like, underground French, you know, resistance spy group made of women. Her name, you know, she'd... Violet Sabosa. I don't know. She had a very odd name that I can't pronounce off the top of my head. But anyway, it was very interesting, and it opened up this whole... other section of not only just reading, mm-hmm. but just history that I would never, you know, they don't teach you that stuff in high school.
Right.
At least they don't teach you that here because, yeah. right. you know, it means nothing to the United States. So you're not going to learn it. Right. And it was just interesting. It was just really interesting.
Yeah.
So I like games. I think I'm surprised that more people don't use that angle to make arguments for games. Mm-hmm. You know, they always do. I wish that the people that are going to bat for our industry mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. I very rarely hear them say they're always on the defense. They're not on the offense, and they're not going and saying, "Hey, listen, we have people specifically that can sit here and argue how gaming has not only is fun for them, but has improved their lives in ways outside of video games."
I think they are doing that. We're just not hearing about it
because of the media.
Because the media doesn't want to cover that.
Yeah, that's not sexy.
That's not an interesting story.
It's not interesting. Yeah. Another thing too that I found, I wrote an article actually on video game addiction for our dearly departed Green Pixels.
Yes.
And the other thing that was interesting that I found doing my research for that article is that video game addiction can actually be a symptom of something else. Like, they did a study where they found, like, I think 9 out of 10 kids that showed what they called pathological play also had ADD. And it was
that makes sense to me.
But it was like, do the video games cause the ADD or does the ADD mm-hmm. cause the video game thing? There's no way to tell
the cause and effect.
There. Yeah.
Hmm. So I would have, just guessing, no. I would say it probably just aggravates an already established situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. But that's just me talking off the top of my head because I know I can't pay attention to anything. And I've always had that problem.
Yeah.
Mine's gotten much worse.
Mine's gotten really bad too as I've gotten older. I mean, I'll forget what I had for lunch, mm-hmm. and I'll be able to tell you things that happened like 10 years ago on a Thursday, but you ask me what I did 20 minutes ago, and it's a complete blank.
Oh my gosh!
I probably wear the same outfit twice in a row all the time because I wake up in the morning and I'm like,
I was wondering what
yesterday?
That smell was.
I don't know.
Was.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you change your undies today?
I did. I did get to work today and discover 2 hours into the day that I had my sweater on inside out.
Ooh. I did that in a voice acting class the other day. And everyone thought it was a new style until somebody finally was like, wait, is that a tag? And I'm like, oh, damn it. And I didn't go into the bathroom, change my shirt. And then one girl goes, oh, that's too bad. I really like that style.
That was another tangent.
Yes. At the end of the day, if you or someone you love, you honestly think that they are truly addicted
To anything.
To anything, not just games. Try to get them some help. There's tons
of help. Go on that TV show and
everywhere. No, I wouldn't suggest that.
And don't go on to Tyra Banks either. Oh, can I tell this story?
No.
Does anyone remember this was my favorite. Any time that a show does something and you can tell that the people who are running the show or hosting the show don't know anything about games.
Just the fact that just said her name already made me throw up in my mouth a little bit. That woman. Jesus Christ.
So Tyra had a big thing where she was moralizing and waving her finger on the evils of game, like World of Warcraft, and she had this guy on who his girlfriend was like, and he plays WoW all the time. And it sounded like I would have been annoyed with this guy too, because he was playing WoW all the time and wasn't doing anything else. But he came out and they read him the riot act. The two of them gang up on him and he's like sitting there and they said, so will you shred these discs? And he was like, okay, yeah. And he was like, yeah, sure. I'll totally shred the discs. And so they bring out like a disc shredder and he's doing
it. Because he's got them saved to his hard drive.
I know, because with WoW, you don't need the disc to play the game. You just install the game on there. I'm like, you
LOL.
Idiots. Yeah. He's like, sure. No problem.
Sure.
I'll just download it later.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
See, you know what drives me crazy is I actually had my agent specifically reach out to her after this whole thing goes down and said, I've got a girl that is in the industry and it's been a positive response for her and she'd really like to be a guest on your show and really you can attack her all you want, but she's going to take the stance of defending video games in the industry. They didn't even want to bother like even possibly being embarrassed and being shown that they did not know what they were talking about.
Our own parent company Fox News or our own sister company Fox News did that whole thing with Mass Effect 2 Orgy Simulator. They were not interested in finding it.
Didn't the woman have to apologize?
She did.
Yeah,
she did.
I had to apologize later. Like, well, oops, I didn't know that.
You know why?
I didn't actually research anything.
Yeah.
So apparently Fox fed her the information she was supposed to be saying, like the
I don't think she would ever actually.
Yeah. And then the internet, quote unquote, got so pissed off. They actually tracked her book down online.
Oh, yeah.
Right. On Amazon and crashed the site with all the nasty comments.
Yeah.
To the point where basically they had to pull her book off of Amazon.com, and that's when she made out her public apology. And I got to tell you, Jeff Keighley did an excellent job arguing that on TV. I was really, really proud of how he handled himself on there. And because he just got angry enough to like call her out on a lot of stuff, but he still managed to keep it professional, where I would probably throw in a chair.
No, you.
Yeah.
What? Flip a table. What?
And then.
Be like, yeah,
and then
you
slammed
know
a beer and then played some wine. In a love hotel. Right. With my DS. Yeah. I've been like, screw y'all.
Games don't make you, aren't detrimental. Yeah.
But he handled himself really well, and he had a lot of good points.
Yeah, oh, we've been tangential today, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
I think it's just because it's so late, and I'm just exhausted.
Yeah. And that just proves the point. The media doesn't want to report on anything good about games. So
they like bad news. Well, they like scaring people about everything. I mean, you look at any news pod, that is the tactic. You know, they'll be like, "Oh, what's in your kitchen cupboard can kill you. You
know? Exactly. Tonight at 11. I actually heard, not that one, but it was like your backyard grill. How your backyard grill can kill you. Honestly,
probably
that was
by exploding.
That was a real headline from one of the TV stations.
Mine that
out
I heard
here.
Was how your pet may be giving you cancer.
What?
That was my favorite one that I've heard.
That's why you shoot it with a gun. The truth comes out. But only in the neck.
Yeah, don't make it suffer. Make it a quick kill.
All right.
All right, so we're going to move into another topic. It's technically a letter, so I guess we're moving into our letters.
I was going to say we should move into questions, timing-wise.
So this comes to us from Sean, and he wrote us a really long letter in response to Christine and I's conversation about how much we sucked in the Halo beta. And so basically his point is that, like, he would love to see more female gamers in competitive online FPSs, and disagrees that you have to spend an inordinate amount of time playing in order to do well and have fun, and says that we should potentially have just as much time as anybody else. And
playing things I want to play.
Exactly. That's what
ding,
I was going to say.
Ding.
That's the problem. Yeah. I don't. With me in first person, anything. I usually do not enjoy first person perspectives.
I think Mirror's Edge is the only game that I actually sort of liked first person perspective. Everything else just drives me crazy.
Here's the thing. I don't mind first person perspective. And Mirror's Edge, no way, because the jumping in first person, it made me want to throw. I couldn't do it. I'm bad enough at jumping anyway. Like, at least let me see my feet when I'm doing it.
Right.
But my problem with first person is that it's almost always the topic of games. I don't care about military stuff. I don't.
Exactly.
The futuristic, like, post-apocalyptic sort of. I'm like, again, like, for the most part, like, that is never going to be a draw to me. And I find that the good chunk of first person games, like, the story is not very interesting, and it's like the same thing. Oh God, the world's gonna end, or aliens are coming, blah blah blah.
And
it's not fleshed out, and it's something dumb like Gears of War, where it's just like laughable dialogue and just like stupid. I'm like, it's like a bunch of boys wrote it. Oh,
yeah. They did.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, that's why I really like BioWare. BioWare actually has because of like Mass Effect.
But they're not a first person shooter.
Correct. Well, yeah, that's true.
Well, the thing about just first person. Mm-hmm. I played Fallout 3 in first person, not third person. And that was the only game I really truly enjoyed with that.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, I just feel like I don't have a good perspective.
Well, you don't have like any peripheral vision.
Right, like you don't have, I like knowing what's around me and like, you know, sort of what's behind me as much as, you know, I like having as much of a view as possible, and that's why I hate first person.
I would have to say that the reason that I ended up having a hard time, now I was really good with first person shooters on PC. Mm-hmm. I was bad with them when they started getting really popular on console, and it was because the mouse and the flat of the desk that I was playing on always gave me a concept of location. That was always my feet. Mm-hmm. And so when I was jumping or moving or racing around or whatever and hitting the space bar or whatever you do, even if I was doing a flip in the air, because I always knew that this was my ground off the mouse, I could always mentally think in a three-dimensional capacity more or easily.
Right.
So would be able to kind of figure out where I was pointing the gun.
Right.
Whereas I'm holding the system controller in my hand. I don't both hands are on it, and I don't have anything tactile to ground me. Completely couldn't function.
Your couch.
No.
But yes.
The flip side to that, though,
it's a lot easier on PCs.
Things like BioShock, where at least I can see my hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I might not be, you know, it's not just nothing. Just right. like the, when I mean, I can see my hands. So those, and there's a good story.
There's a good story. Yeah. It's a story good game.
It's really important, especially on first person for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good story, I don't want to play it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah. And so, first person shooter, 50-50 chance I'll play in it, but only single player. I'll never do, like, team up.
Only multiplayer, because I don't want to hear a bunch of people that I could, that I like the people I touch junior high to, like, running around calling me an idiot or hearing that I'm a girl and calling me names. It's just, I'm too old to deal with that stuff. I'm not old, but I'm just saying I'm past a point in my life where I want to put up with that crap. I don't have enough time.
Well, you just turn the mute on, or you just only, or do,
but
like,
then it's
I don't
want to
play with 15-year-old boys.
Well, like, that's why our kind of thing was we only play with friends.
Like, I was going to say the best option at that point is playing with friends. Like doing, like, not that this
right.
is
I think
but
that
doing Red Dead Redemption as a posse where you posse up with your friends here at the office.
Are you doing that?
Now that I have a 360 version.
Heck yeah!
You can't see it, but there was a high five right there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to say to Sean that there are plenty of female gamers out there that love FPSs.
Like
it's
just not us.
And online. I think that they are just not playing in the random rooms.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys know, but Microsoft has this group that you can join called Gamer Chicks, and they do like a ladies' night every Monday night. They play something together online. And typically it's Call of Duty or Halo or Graw or, you know, something like that. So, you know, they're out there. They're probably just not playing with random people.
They're not playing with you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The other point that he brought up, which I want to ask you guys too, is he thinks that maybe the reason why we don't like FPSs so much is because they are specifically developed to identify with the cultural upbringing of males, such as military and sci-fi.
Yeah, well, I was going
to
say
there's
the same
something
thing.
To that. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like sci-fi, so for me, I don't get. And I love post-apocalyptic stuff.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm totally down for that, but I do hate military.
Right.
Although, that's not totally true,
like,
because
war.
I did like Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just like how whatever it is that is in the game development that appeals to me or doesn't.
If I don't see another piece of camo, it would be too soon.
No, Splinter Cell, he looked really hot.
That's not really military, though.
He's
like
in the military. He's in special ops.
I know, but he's not wearing, you know.
Sam Fisher's the sexiest old man I've ever seen. So much better than Snake and his nasty-ass Ron Burgundy mustache.
See, I
don't know who thought that was a good character design. I turned that on.
Oh my
like,
god!
Real
are you
like
calling out Kojima?
I was like, "What's up? I love Lamp. He just looks awkward. That stash is gross."
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Sean, we generally don't like them because they don't appeal to us, and we're not playing online because, well, we are playing online, but with our friends because we just don't care to play with strangers. So that's your answer. But there are girls out there.
Your mom always said, "Don't play with strangers."
There are girls out there. They may just have you on mute and may not be talking.
That's
you
true.
Never know.
Yeah.
And you can never tell by someone's gamer tag whether they're male or female.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But
no, you can't because people will sometimes play on each other's.
Yeah.
True.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
All right. So hope that answers your question, Sean. So now we have a question from, I'm going to totally mispronounce this name, Zan Z with a little thing on top of it.
Honky Pete. Oh, yeah. He's got some good old Slovakian.
Yeah, he's from Slovenia.
Oh, Slovenian. Sorry.
And he wants to know how gaming is perceived by the general public over here in the States. And do we feel slightly shamed when we tell others who are not into gaming whatsoever that we are gamers? And he said, you know, he comes from Slovenia and that it's really bad over there. Like, people are like, if you play games, you're a leper.
I'm going to go out and say that as a woman, I think it's a lot easier to say that you're a gamer because people look at you more as an oddity because they're just not expecting it. They're like, oh, that's interesting. Like, you look like a normal person and yet you play games. Maybe it's not so crazy. Whereas I think guys get tagged. I think guys get tagged with a lot more of an overgrown adolescent.
Yeah. I think it's it's interesting that he's saying that over there because my mother is Persian and she hates gaming. Like, hates that my dad and I do it, thinks it's rude, like, just can't understand it.
Weird.
It's, like, totally anti-gaming, so I wonder if it's more of, like, a cultural...
My parents are pretty anti-gaming, too, though.
It sort of depends, though. Like, Guitar Hero and stuff like that has gone mainstream, so in some facets, maybe it's a little more culturally accepted here as well in terms of it's a little more mainstream.
And the Wii.
She will play Wii Sports because everybody's doing it. And we had to kind of, like, drag her by the hair over there, too, because she did not want to play it.
Maybe that's part of the reason she doesn't
want
to play,
because
she's dragging her by the hair.
Then once she started playing, she's like, oh, it's kind of fun. And
I love telling people that I'm a video game reporter or that I'm video game whatever, because it never fails, and not that this is a bad thing, but it never fails that I'll, especially around here in California, oh, are you an actress? Are you a model? I'm like, no. I don't need that, because I'm a video game reporter. I have a cool job that actually means I'm doing something with my life other than sitting around and... I could get really mean right now.
I'm not going to do it. I know where you're going.
Yeah. I think it's easier. I think it's definitely easier as a woman.
Doing the casting couch.
Yeah, definitely is.
And I just think overall, too, here in the States, it has gotten better. It used to be a lot worse. Back in the days of,
Dungeons
and Dragons, Atari, and all those things, it was a lot worse than what it is now. So hopefully Slovenia will evolve.
Like, and hopefully we will keep evolving.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so next question comes from Raul. Raul wants to know, what has been your most exciting and memorable memory in your personal gaming history?
My most memorable memory.
I can throw one out there, and that was right after I met my husband, and I actually wrote an article about this on IGN. We would stay up all night playing Puzzle Fighter against each other because he was really good and I sucked, and I had to beat him. And you know, I was like, don't let me win, you know. And it took hours and hours and hours and hours, but when I finally won a match, not just a round but a full match against him, it was the most wonderful feeling in the world. Yes. So that's mine.
Mine was, which I also actually wrote about for IGN, was when we got the first demo disc of Burnout 3 in our offices for Official PlayStation. When I was working on Official PlayStation magazine, and we sat around, there were like seven of us who worked on the magazine, and we sat around in a cube and we passed around the controller, and I think there were one Road Rage race and there were two Crash Junctions. And we sat on the floor, and there was no multiplayer, or no offline multiplayer in this game. And we just passed around the controller for hours and hours at a time, and we were going home late every night, which we often did because it was like deadline week, which is the week that we're supposed to ship the issue. And it was pretty common practice for us to be there till like midnight every night during the week of ship. But we weren't actually getting any work done. So I kept telling my husband that I was like, oh, we got so much work to do, blah, blah. And then I had to go back in on the weekend to actually do the work that we hadn't been doing. And he was like, you've been there till midnight every night this week. What's going on? And I was like, well, there's this game. Burnout. But that, I mean, it was just one of the most fun gaming experiences of my life. And it was so funny because it was not multiplayer, and we didn't even have the full game, for God's sakes. We had two Crash Junctions and one Road Rage race. And we did, but when the game came out, then I brought it home to him and I was gone for a weekend, and he actually had some friends over and they stayed up all night, and they had the full game, mind you, stayed up all night playing the same race over and over, and 8 hours straight of just like same race. Yeah. So that game was awesome.
I would say similar stories about staying up. You know, I basically, for 1 week of school in college, I stapled black sheets over my windows because I didn't have curtains, and locked my door and turned off I unhooked all the phones and whatever, called in sick to school for the rest of the week, and basically stayed and played Legend of Zelda: Ocarina of Time from beginning to end for that whole week, and it was great. I didn't leave the apartment once. I ordered pizza. I think I showered twice. and that was it. That was great.
Cool.
I'm still thinking. I have a lot of memories, but I'm trying to think of one that you know, just
I don't think
me.
I have yeah. anything like that yet. I don't have anything that's like the moment of all moments.
No, it's the moment of all moments, but it's definitely one of the highlights.
I have a lot of memories, you know, and I don't really...
In my life.
Yeah, none of them are really, like, super duper special.
Okay. Sorry. Megan, we'll let you keep thinking if you come up with one.
Yeah, nothing is... Uh-huh. I mean, I have a lot of memories, like, nice memories, but they're not like, you know, I mean, it's everything from seeing the cover of Final Fantasy VII for the first time to... winning certain games.
Was there like a little halo of light around it? Was there a chorus of angels?
You know, it was pretty mind-blowing. You had to be old enough to remember back in 1997 how pretty epic that whole thing with Cloud and his Buster Sword was. But that was a pretty amazing moment where it was like, I was walking past EB Games or something and literally walked backwards and went, what is that? Because I was already a huge Final Fantasy fan. And so I didn't see it coming.
It's true, and it was pre-big internet.
Walking around the streets of San Francisco with a Cloud sword. And I did a double take. I was on the bus. I was like, what the what? But yep, it was full on, totally a Cloud sword.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's pretty sweet.
Was he cosplaying?
I know Ryan Clements will kill for that. No, he looked normal. He was just carrying a Buster sword.
Carrying a sword.
I was like, all right.
Okay. More power to you. All right, so next question comes from Martin Cross in the UK, another UK listener.
Yay!
So he says that he can only really name a few female characters that have not been hypersexualized, and his examples are Elena from Uncharted and Jade from Beyond Good and Evil, and he wants to know if there are other characters that we can think of...
Ms. Pac-Man.
That are not hypersexualized. But this is really... I have to read this line from his thing because it's really funny. He's like, do you think the use of female characters in gaming will gradually shift away from the usual 12-year-old's wet dream? After all, surely breasts don't sell games anymore? ?
They do.
Yeah, I think they do.
They do.
Yeah.
I would rather play with a hot chick than not a hot chick.
Right. Well, but there's a difference between being good-looking and being hypersexualized, I think.
You know, with, the shirts cut way down to there. What's her favorite? What was the character from Wet?
And
Ruby? I remember the first time, the first time I saw when I first saw Wet when we saw it at a Gamers Day event, and I was like, really? Come on. This is so, ridiculously over the top.
Yeah, but that whole game, that was their shtick, though. It was Quentin Tarantino BS.
Yeah.
Tarantino's female characters wear a lot more than
he wants other examples. I would say Jen from Primal is a pretty good one.
Any
Faith
of the women
from
on the
Mirror's
Sims.
Edge. Well, not any, because you can make them look pretty.
That's true.
Until recently, maybe not so recently, I was going to say Samus, but that's gotten actually to be less of the case.
Well, you give it to Tecmo and Team Ninja, and that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But
Zelda.
I would say the female hero, it depends, but the female hero in Fable, too. I mean, when you max out the strength.
Oh, my God.
Not pretty.
Not pretty at all.
Oh, oh, that's right. Yeah.
It's like a bodybuilder or something like that. Yeah. So,
you need to eat celery.
Yeah.
No, it's not fat.
Are you talking the scars?
Yeah,
No.
It's you just bulk up and you become this huge tank of a woman.
You're huge.
It's like if you max your strength.
I finished it. My lady didn't look that.
Did you not max on your strength?
Did you not max your strength?
No, I don't think I did. Yeah. I think I maxed out all my magic or whatever you call them.
Yes, you're all blue.
And I was pretty much looked like I was a cracked window.
Yeah. That's your, yeah. But no. If you build up your strength, you just turn into the Hulk.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
She's not pretty looking at all.
No, but I do remember the first time when I was starting to develop that, and I thought it was a tattoo because I had gone to get a tattoo to get that achievement, and I got it removed, and I was like, I thought I removed this. Why is this still here?
Yeah.
But then eventually, I'm like, oh, it's the magic.
And at first, you're like, oh, this is cool, until eventually it gets so encrusted, it's really nasty.
But yeah, so
see, extremes are bad. That's what they're trying to tell you. Extremes make you ugly.
And you know, honestly,
you're like, I just want to be strong like Buffy. He's strong.
Honestly, pretty much any game where you can create your own character, obviously you can make them
less
look whatever.
I think Kai from Heavenly Sword, the crazy sidekick, wasn't very sexualized. She was just weird.
She's just crazy.
Yeah, she was just crazy. She liked cat ears or something. I don't remember.
She looked filthy. She looks dirty. Kai did.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes or on the Zune Marketplace. We posted instructions for how to get the feed up on Facebook, so hopefully there won't be any more trouble with that. And as always, if you like what you hear, also please review us, because that helps us out a lot.
If you want to send us questions, comments, feedback, please do so. Send an email to igngirlfight@gmail.com. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/igngirlfight. By the way, we're up above 1,000 likes now.
Sweet.
Which is all really right. Cool.
Thanks, awesome. All.
Yeah. And you can also follow us on Twitter.
Like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Twitter.com/igngirlfight. And...
please send us artwork, because we want to...
Yes, totally. Yes, artwork. I posted this on the Facebook page, but it didn't get very much response. So right now, I am staring at...
terrible Photoshops of the Beyond Kids.
Of the Beyond Kids.
Even people that are gone.
Yeah.
So
we're still up here.
Yeah. So we've only got one really cool piece of fan art for Girl Fight.
And who used silver duct tape to tape those...
Scott Bromley.
Oh, Jesus.
So we've only got one piece of Girl Fight fan art. We need more, because we don't want to stare at Beyond people all the time.
Or Game Scoop.
So if
they're nice fellows, but
they are.
Yes.
Yeah, we do like our coworkers,
but we
like beating them.
We have to. But we have to stare at them all day.
This room needs a feminine touch, and you can help us out by sending us artwork.
Yes. So if you are at all artistically inclined,
or not.
Yeah.
If you're good at Photoshop,
yes.
Or if you're not. Yeah. We'll take whatever we can get, basically. Yeah.
If it's not horribly offensive, we'll take it.
Yes.
I would even say, baby. We'll take the horribly offensive art. We just won't post it.
Yeah.
We're flexible.
We'll just look at it on our own time.
Yes, so please do that. And thanks again for listening, and we will be back with you next week.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Oops. Dudes.